Test, test, 1, 2, 3.
Right.
Sponsored by Dr. Pepper.
And a raisin cookie.
Welcome to Fansville. That was Brenda Lee. No, Darlene Love, Christmas. Baby, Please Come Home, which I'm sure we can't play any of for copyright reasons. This is bad. I shouldn't be drinking a carbonated beverage.
Be burping.
I'm going to have some burps, which I don't want. The ladies and gentlemen at home do not. They do not need to hear that. Welcome to Continuing Conversations.
Hello.
Hello. I'm Pastor Matt.
I'm Pastor Dana.
And thank you for joining us.
As it finally says on my door.
Yay! Yeah, we've got signs. Very exciting times here at the church. And it's not because of the Christmas children's program, and it isn't because of all the special services we're having and bake sales and all that stuff. No, it's we've got new signage around the building. We've got signs at the pastor's offices. We got signs at Darcy's office. And we've got a sign labeling where extra coat racks are. So, it's safe to say it's getting pretty crazy around here.
Whoa, look out.
I know. People are beating down our doors to come in and see the new signs. They're lined up around the block, but we're keeping them out.
We're keeping them out.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've done this. We've been saying that the last couple of times, but
it's gotten busy.
It's gotten very busy, and it's hard after church.
We haven't gotten in a rhythm again of doing it after church or
because
even during the week sometimes.
Every Sunday, church gets done, and then it's like, all right, we could podcast. Oh, wait, there's this other event that's going on.
Most days it's the Vikings game. Just or kidding.
Right. As if we want to be watching that right now.
Well, they played okay on Sunday.
They did. They won. So, yay, Vikings. And who knows? Maybe 9 can get it done. How cringy is 9? I hate it. When I put this jersey on, I become 9. Like, okay, oh. JJ. Darla's here as well. Darla, you got stuff to say? No. Whenever
she
the microphone's
did,
in her
then,
face,
yeah.
She's like, I'm not going to say a thing. Perfect.
Did you hear the breath?
That was great. That was great.
Oh, there. She licked it.
Some good dog sound effects. Good Foley work. Thank you.
Good job, Darla.
Thank you, Darla.
It doesn't have the same effect as, like, Six or seven. On Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's true. I think he's trying to do something, but it's hard. I don't know.
Really opinionated about that.
Darla's got a lot of stuff to say. JJ's trying to do something, but he hasn't had any experience yet to be calling himself 9, giving himself. Anytime anybody gives themselves a nickname, it's bad.
Someone else kind of has to come up with it.
Somebody has to. You can't show up to your group of friends and be like, guys, call me Turbo. It's like, okay. Then it's just going to be ironic and tongue in cheek.
He also like already has a nickname being JJ.
JJ. You're JJ McCarthy. You're like John Jameson McCarthy or something, and you're shortened to JJ. You've already got a thing. Don't try to make yourself 9. I am 9.
Speaking of nicknames, I am watching Gilmore Girls right now.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Logan's nickname for Rory as Ace is just
Great. Yeah.
It's just so good.
It's good. Yeah. Those are some of the best seasons.
Oh, you like Logan.
I like Logan, yeah. Let me see. Dean, no.
How about Dean 2.0?
Jess? Dean 2.0?
When she comes back around to Dean after, like, he's married.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why I don't like Dean.
Divorced.
Because he cheats on his wife with her. And it's like, bad Dean.
Bad.
I like Dean before that, but I don't know. He's a little clingy, too, but I don't know. Anyway, we are done with Dancing with the Stars. Last time we gathered together, we were talking about Dancing with the Stars.
Been.
It's been a while.
That was a good
Robert
season.
Won. It was a great season. Mm-hmm. Everybody in that final crew was good. Mm-hmm. And all in their own ways. They all had their own take on approaching dance, which I thought was cool. Yeah. So
Jordan's freestyle was so good.
Insane. And that was like so hip hop. Cool. And I can't remember the last time I saw like a hip hop freestyle.
Yeah.
So it's really cool that she had her own thing going on. And now we're watching The Mormon Wives, which is tangentially related to Dancing with the Stars, because now I'm at the point in the season. You're done with it.
Yeah, I'm done.
I'm at the point in the season where Whitney is back.
Because she wants to go on Dancing with the Stars.
And I love that about Whitney. She's like...
See, I didn't love that.
I don't care. She's like, I'm here because I want to get on Dancing with the Stars. Yeah. I don't like any of you ladies. Well, because they're all so mean to each other.
They are. So, and they are mean to Whitney.
And they're super mean to her. So she's like... I don't really actually care to be any of your friends. I'm going to be here for all the like contractually obligated press events that we have to do together because I want to do something more. I want to be on Broadway. Like, she wants to be on Broadway or something.
She is.
And she is now. But that was, she's in the show.
I kind of want to go.
Yeah. She's in the show being like, I just want to do something more. I want to be on Dancing with the Stars. And I think she thought, well, Dancing with the Stars will be my platform to something else.
Which it was. That was good.
A TV career or movie career or something on Broadway. And here she is. Now she's going to Broadway.
But that's kind of how Hulu, it must be Hulu, does it.
Yeah, spins it off.
With the contracts, too. Yeah. Of like, oh, we're not just going to put you on Dancing with the Stars.
Right.
You have to do
You have to
season.
Promote it because there's this cross-pollination going on. And, I mean, case in point. That was me and Kelsey. That same thing. We got done with Dancing with the Stars, and we're like, oh, there's that new season of Mormon Wives.
Yep.
Oh, I bet they talk about Dancing with the Stars. Well, we just finished that. Let's hop over there and start doing that. And it's like, yeah, great. So there you go. It's pretty genius how these shows feed each other.
Well, and they all do events together, like Hulu show people.
Yeah.
Reality people all do stuff together. They all know each other. They have events.
It's like, one big community.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's cool because like I typically wouldn't want to watch a show like Traitors, and I haven't yet. But
I haven't yet either.
I know Boston Rob from Survivor is on Traitors. And it's like, I kind of want to watch that now because they pull Survivor people, Housewives people.
Now Mark Bouse is going to be on the next season.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
And he's from Dancing with the Stars, right?
Yeah. So he was Whitney's partner.
That's right. Mark. Yeah, I like Mark.
Dylan Efron was on with...
Daniela Kedigoch. I just like saying her name. Daniela Kedigoch.
The Ferrari. Didn't they call her the Ferrari?
Oh, I don't know.
That's what we called her.
Jeez.
I think it was Bruno said...
The Ferrari.
Oh, yeah.
You are a stallion. I'm getting up out of my chair. I'm doing my Bruno Toglioni impression. He can't say anything sitting down.
No,
he has to get up and be like, my darling, you are incredible. What a paso doble.
A paso doble.
Yeah, I know nothing about dance, but it's fun to watch that show. And I feel like after watching a full season, I'm like, ugh, the footwork. They weren't in frame. They came out of frame, of course. What are you doing? The kicks and flicks were not precise. And I'm like, well, I don't know what I'm talking about, but I know these phrases from what the judges have said.
My friends did the Survivor weekend. And my next proposal was we should do a Dancing with the Stars weekend.
Oh, my gosh.
Have all of us try to learn some of these dances.
That is harder
and
than...
I know, that would be
because
so hard.
That Survivor weekend... From everything you told me in the stories, that took so much organization and planning to make happen.
Yeah.
But Dancing with the Stars would be even crazier.
Oh, yeah. That would... We wouldn't have enough time
And
to
you'd
practice.
Have to learn how to dance.
Right.
And like,
also, that these, like,
I don't 30 think
year
that
olds
would
who don't know how to dance.
Yeah. To be like, all right, we're going to learn how to dance and then have a dancing competition. And then someone is going to have to be... Like a judge of dance, which we don't know anything about.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Hey, we've watched enough Dancing with the Stars.
That's
you're
true.
In frame, you're out
you would
of frame.
Know, you would know those things
for sure.
Flicks
and kicks. And,
you would know that. Speaking of Survivor, we don't have to get into it because we said we were going to talk about just Advent because there are too many sermons to catch up on. And
apparently there's too much TV to catch up
too
on.
Much too much on TV to catch up on. And also... Not only are there too many sermons to catch up on, but a couple didn't make it to the podcast feed. because we had technical difficulties. Little peek behind the curtain in this room. We're in the tech room right now. We had an update to some of our firmware on these computers, and part of the update was settings got changed, and we had a couple of services where the service got changed in a file type that could not be read.
It was too much.
Too much. And
it
then
didn't work.
And now it's 0 bytes, and we couldn't even pull audio from it. So sad times, bad times.
Yeah, it was too bad.
So now if you're just a podcast or YouTube enjoyer of All Saints Lutheran Church, you missed a couple weeks, and we're sorry. But, you know, anyway.
Yeah.
I think this is one that maybe got up on the main feed. I don't know. John the Wild Man, the Survivor, where you talked about your Survivor weekend.
I think it did.
And how, I mean, we're going to talk about Advent anyway, but.
What day was this?
I have December the 7th.
So last weekend.
Or maybe that's just the last time I pulled up that note.
Did I talk about Survivor?
You said John the Wild Man, the Survivor. Oh, wait, maybe this is a different one.
I talked about Survivor in a different sermon.
Oh, that's right. Hold on. Let me find the Survivor.
On the 7th, I did
one.
Talk about John the Baptist.
That's right. Oh, okay. Oh, immunity idols and holy nights for our crucified king.
That was too much.
And I don't think that one got up there.
No, I think it did.
That one did get in there? Anyway.
Honestly, I don't remember that one much.
I don't remember what I had for
breakfast. I talked about Survivor. That was...
Yeah. Did that one make it up on the main feed, I wonder? Please hold.
Yeah, it did.
It did. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Anyway, the only thing, we don't have to go through the whole thing because, like we said, it's too many to catch up on now.
This was the end of Luke. Okay.
That was the end of Luke. Oh,
Luke
that was. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Because it was Christ the King Sunday.
Oh, okay.
So
okay,
that was
our
New Year's Eve sort of thing. So you talked about Survivor and your Survivor weekend with your friends.
Because I talked about immunity idols. Oh, yes. It's all coming back to
me now. We're figuring it out.
That's why I was talking about Survivor.
But the thing I wanted to bring up is I applied to be on Survivor.
Yes.
I've told you this, but I don't know if the ladies and gentlemen at home know that. I sent in an audition tape to Survivor like 3 years ago. Didn't hear a thing. So...
Do they just hold that? I don't know. Do they get rid of them after a couple of years and you gotta apply again?
I'm holding out hope that just someday Jeff will be like,
Jeff will call you personally?
That Matt guy from Chanhassen.
The pastor.
That pastor guy from Chanhassen.
It's a good personality thing to get on. The thing that
would give me an edge on the game of Survivor is that I have to get along and know a whole wide variety of people.
Yes, you do.
And that's kind of part of the gig of being a pastor. You got this big Rolodex of people in your congregation. Yeah. And you kind of got to know a little bit of everything about a little bit of everybody. And you could use that to your advantage on a game like Survivor.
I could see you doing okay on
building
Survivor.
Trust. I'd be a vibes guy for sure on camp. I would be high. Keep the vibes high. Keep it light.
Yeah.
And then I'd stab them in the back.
See, I would be a wreck on Survivor. I would not survive. Mm. I would self-eliminate because I'd
think
be like,
so? Immediately?
I'm hungry.
I'm hungry. I don't like it here. These people are mean.
It's hot. There's bugs.
Sweaty. I'm laying on the ground. I've had sand covering me all. I can't get the sand off of me.
And then I'm not a very strong swimmer. So I know
that's
part of the application that you have to be a strong swimmer. And
I just know myself that I'm not. Yeah.
So.
Many challenges have to do with swimming. So apparently a part of the process, and I never got this far. I just made a tape where I talked about myself, strengths and weaknesses and stuff. But part of the audition process is, you know, if they give you a call back or they'll call you on the phone, the next thing apparently they tell you to do is record a video of yourself jumping into a pool, diving down to the bottom of said pool and retrieving an object. So I know people in my life who've gotten that callback, and they had to take
how deep it has to be?
I think it was like 6 feet minimum.
Okay, I could do that.
Yeah.
But like...
And it's like put like a 5-pound dumbbell or something of that, you know, density or weight or whatever.
A little heavy.
A little heavy thing, and drop it to the bottom of the pool. Show yourself dropping it. Show yourself diving in, retrieving it, and coming back up. So they know you know how to do stuff like that. Because there are a lot of challenges that are like, dive down and untie this thing. And you know,
I also wear contacts. And
I do too.
To open your eyes underwater hurts your
eyeballs. That is hard to do with contacts. But you can be on Survivor with contacts. They give you contacts. and like little things to what
I think
clean your hands and stuff.
I think there's some secret stuff that
there's
goes
definitely
on
med, like
away from the cameras.
Yeah, there's like a med. Well, they did a little peek behind the curtain this on this season of Survivor. Remember that guy who got the dry bite with the sea crate? Are you watching
yeah
this season of
yeah
Survivor?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So this guy on Survivor got bitten by a sea snake called a sea crate.
Yep.
And it's a very venomous snake. But luckily the guy had a dry bite. So the snake bit him but yeah didn't inject him with any venom. And some of the contestants on screen ran back to like the little medical area that's like carved out of the woods somewhere
yeah
and retrieved a white binder with a bunch of like
yes
laminated
yes
sheets, and they were flipping through it and they were like, secret, secret, where is it? Where is it? And it's like, oh, they have access to like a little library back there.
I mean, that is helpful.
Doesn't that, yeah, but doesn't that make yeah sense? Because I've been watching this show my whole life and I've never thought like, how do they know what fish they can eat and what fish they can't?
Right.
And what bugs right they can eat and what bugs they can't? Because you can't eat every kind of fish because some fish will make you
yeah
very sick.
Yeah.
So you got to know like what fish are toxic, what bugs are toxic, what plants are toxic.
Mm-hmm.
Because people on this show, you're eating random stuff. You know, mm-hmm, you can get coconut and everybody knows coconut's okay, but I wouldn't know what kind of fish
no
would make me violently ill and what yeah I can eat. So they or have a little binder. Or, yeah. And apparently you can see there's a whole reference of like edible plants, edible bugs, edible fish. And that yeah way when you're, if you're going to go out with that little Hawaiian sling the fishing spear, you can look and go, okay, these stripy ones are off limits and these ones with a big fin are, you know, yeah off limits. I don't know. So yeah, very interesting. So apparently if you have contacts, you must be able to go to a little medical tent.
Yeah.
Get a sterilizing wipe for your hand.
Right.
Because you couldn't get, you know, sand. They're always covered.
Hand.
That's the thing that would probably bug me the most on Survivor is being dirty and having like, you know, they do the interviews where they get really close in their faces and you can always see little specks of sand. And
yeah
I'm like, that would drive me nuts. I'd be like, get the sand off me. But they live on a beach. So, of course,
right,
they're covered
right
in sand for 28 days or whatever.
Yeah, I wouldn't care about that. It's the food that I would
yeah
I would be going downhill after.
Yeah. Food and lack of sleep.
Yeah. Yep.
The lack of sleep would be tough for me. That's what Kelsey always said whenever I bring this up of like, I need to do another audition tape. She's like, you're not happy when you're tired. Like, you're going to be grumpy. You're going to be mean to people on the show. I'm like, yeah, fair. Probably would be.
But you're also like,
I know my limits.
You're in it for the game
yeah
of it.
Yeah, that's true. I think I'd be able to lock
yeah
in.
Yeah.
I'd be able to lock in and be like, okay, I can do this.
I wouldn't, but
yeah,
good. I'm glad you could.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
so I did
lunch.
I did survive. I did apply for Survivor.
Yep. Good.
I might need to make a new one. It's been a few years, but who knows?
Yeah, just keep sending.
Wouldn't
them
that be
in
fun? Yeah, yeah, I'll just be annoying. I'll
right
just be like, Hey, me again. What do I want to talk about today? Because they can be 3 minutes long.
Yep.
They're very strict about like the file size and how long it
yep
needs to be. And so
huh
we'll see. Are you watching any Christmas movies these days?
Oh yeah,
'tis the season for Christmas movies.
Oh yeah, some of the cheesy ones.
What have you watched so far?
Oh, I don't remember. They all have the same names. Christmas.
It's true.
In the Country or Christmas.
Oh, like the Hallmark ones.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Then they're all the same. Yeah. Yeah. The Baker's Son.
The
yeah.
Which one did I just watch? That she came from like L.A. and
mm-hmm
she came to the small town
because yeah
her mom owned the house, but her mom
of
had
course
died and she wanted to sell the house.
Mm-hmm.
But the family who lived there grew peppermint, and it was Peppermint Springs or something
sure
was the town.
Did
and
she meet a boy from that small town?
Of course.
What? Was her name Holly and his name Nick?
It was, it's always Nick.
It's always, yeah.
Actually, her name was Molly.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like,
oh,
wow, we really pulled a muscle on that one.
Yeah, they're like, we can't do another movie with a girl named Holly.
You watched it too, Darla. I know. You
yeah
were there.
She loved it.
Uh-huh. Darla loved it.
Molly. Not
Molly
Holly.
Molly and Noah?
Sure. Kind of. Sort of biblical, I guess.
Doesn't
guess really enter into our no Christmas story, but I don't know. You could make it so. What is wrong with you, Darla? All right.
Darla said, attention to me.
Attention to me. I don't think so. All right. Let's, should we talk about Advent?
Now that we're 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You said in your December 7th sermon about John the Wild Man, John is the human embodiment of Advent.
Yeah, I
because of what he's calling us to do.
But because of the preparation that he's making for Jesus to
come. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, he's naming and affirming this preparation that he's doing.
Well, so I've said this before about John the Baptist too, mm-hmm. that just his like I think I said this in one of the Advent devotionals, mm-hmm. actually. Like, his humility is really cool. That he's not trying to be something that he's not. He's not like, you guys think I'm the Messiah? Okay,
yeah.
Cool. I'll let you think that for a little bit. You know, like, mm-hmm. he's not letting other people tell him what his calling is,
no.
what his purpose is. He's like, no, this is very clear, everyone.
Yeah.
I am the human Advent to prepare for the actual Messiah.
I'm
to
just
come.
This
you know?
Wild like, man out here in the wilderness. Do not put any of these titles on me.
Yeah.
I'm eating locusts and honey, and I'm staying in my lane.
But how easy would that have been, and is that for us to let other people tell us our identities too?
And you
that's
brought up,
how John could have lived.
Yeah.
That, oh, all these people think I'm so great.
Right.
Why don't I be that?
Maybe I am. Yeah, it's easy to give into that temptation of like, okay, maybe I am this.
Well, you could give a whole sermon on the other side of that too.
True.
That other people tell you you're garbage and you could believe that too, right?
Like, you told the story about your friend Chase.
Oh, my friend Chase. I know. I should send it to him. And then I said, I did call him weird in that sermon, so I don't know if he'd be offended.
I think weird's okay. All right.
Like, can I let him know that I called him weird in a sermon? Yeah. Well, he is kind of weird.
The best people are a little bit weird. I don't want to be boring.
Yeah, I was thinking about how Chase is someone unpredictable a little bit, too.
Yeah.
Like,
you don't know where he goes, and he just sort of roams the earth.
All of a sudden, you're like, oh, you have pictures from Puerto Rico?
Yeah, like, it's like,
what?
Oh, you're in Bali? What?
Right.
I didn't even know.
Okay.
All right.
I was in California, and he called me and was like, hey, can I stay with you for a couple days before I go to Hawaii? And I'm like, yeah, like, okay.
Right. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
He loves to travel. He takes photos. He's super cool. But also just like really consistent. And I think that feels like a contradiction kind of too. That,
right. To be this wanderer who's consistent is kind of a contradiction, but it works,
you
know, and it works for him and it works for his experience. And that kind of being a person who names and affirms things about people's experience, you know, he's that kind of guy. And that's how he acts in our Christmas story, in this Advent preparation time. And I liked your point of John calling out the Pharisees and the Sadducees for slithering down to the river to take part in baptism.
That
and
was the Message version that
I
worked
liked
really
that.
Well, for
slithering,
that.
Slithering, well, brood of vipers.
Well, and the Message
he
says brood of snakes.
It. Brood of snakes.
So, slither on down to the river.
That's a great translation.
Because it's the popular
it's
thing
the
to do.
It's the trendy thing
right?
to do. Yeah. And I never thought about that sort of angle of it before, of why does he call them a brood of vipers or a brood of snakes, depending on what translation you're reading. It's because they're trying to get in on what's cool, you know. It's like, oh, people are doing this baptism thing, all right, I'm gonna go down and be like, I'm one of them. It's like, you're not in it for the experience, you're in a place to see and be seen, you know.
Which I also think is funny that they're trying to follow this cultural thing that's cool. Don't they think they're the ones making things cool?
Yeah,
you know, like they're the ones setting the culture.
It gets out of your hands.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So they're losing control of what's.
Right.
Well, so they're like,
I'll
go take control of it.
And maybe that's the first indication that they're losing control is that they have to recognize someone else's what's cool and try to assimilate into that.
Right.
And, you know, and and John the Baptist is like, no.
No, you're not going to use me to rubber stamp what you guys are up to. Like, get out of here. I know you're not here for authentic reasons. And furthermore, you know, talking about that aspect of the story of being something that bears fruit for the world. And you pointed out that it you feel kind of called out by John that's like, not every part of my life is bearing fruit all the time. Some parts of my life need resurrection. You know, we are not, everything is perfect all the time, you know, in that way. And that's part of John's message, I think, is looking with hope to what's coming. And that's Jesus, because we need Jesus, because we can't have it all together all the time. I'm looking up the actual line that I'm talking
about. Yeah,
about
I know. Here. I'm trying to think of.
Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but the one who's coming after me is more powerful than I, and I'm not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in hand, and he will clear the threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So it's that.
Let me read the version.
Getting
that
to that line. Yeah. Because the message might highlight something a little bit different.
Yeah,
but,
the message said it a little different.
That point of the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down. And it's like, I'm not bearing fruit in all my seasons. There are a lot of seasons in my life where I'm not bearing fruit. So is the axe lying at the root of, you know, my trees? And but that's why we need Jesus to come. We need a savior who can resurrect the dead parts of our lives too, even those parts that aren't bearing fruit all the time. Anything in the message that
it's it's a different translation. So he says, what counts is your life? Is it green and flourishing? Because if it's dead wood, it goes on the fire. I'm baptizing you here in the river, turning your old life in for a kingdom life. The real action comes next. Talking about Jesus.
Yep.
Okay, so I'm also working on an Advent devotional that is...
It's been great, by the way. It's been very fun to start my day with that every day.
Yeah, it's been really good. I'm getting to the end now where I'm like, am I just saying all the same things? Like,
it's hard to come up with new stuff to say.
Yeah, it's hard to come up with new stuff.
When you're coming up with a fresh paragraph of words every day.
And 25 of them that are like all kind of on similar
theme.
Too.
Advent theme. Yeah.
So, I chose the passages that I wanted to talk about too.
Right.
So like, yeah, I could go and change the passages, but.
Yeah. You have no one to be mad at but yourself.
It feels really, I chose this.
Why did I do that?
Okay, so a passage, I think it's in a letter or probably Paul talking about Jesus emptying himself on the cross.
Oh, yeah, I love that.
And so in my Advent devotional, here's your sneak peek. I talk about like the call from Jesus is not to empty ourselves. The call is to love your neighbor. So it is not this like I have to give every single part of myself to something else, to someone else. There is a there is a rest available. There is a peace available.
Right.
There, like, Jesus has already done that emptying.
That's not for us to do.
We're
not called to be Jesus.
We're called to be full in in that. Like, that was the purpose of the emptying. And so, I don't know, in relation to the Christmas season and Advent, I think that feels appropriate.
I love that passage from Paul that, Jesus emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. You know, coming to earth in this season in human form to come as a lowly baby. A defenseless baby. And not only that, but a baby born into poverty. You know, into an impoverished family. A kind of a broken family, really. I mean... Mary and Joseph were not married, and that was a big part of what is this public shame. And they're, you know, they were born in an animal stall. You know, there's no place. Wouldn't you think the King of Kings, you know, the Messiah would be born in the palace or in the temple or something more grand, you know, on a mountaintop or some
right.
divine aspect to it. Yeah. It's the most lowly form, but that's to teach us something, I think, right. is that yeah, Jesus came to completely empty himself. We don't have to try to emulate that.
Yep.
And that was part of your message as well. Is yeah. These identities that we have that you know John names to those that he's baptizing as a beloved child of God. These are given to us from birth.
Yeah.
These are our roots. Yeah. You know, these are things under the soil. So there's mm-hmm. parts of our lives that might be dead, like the trees that John is talking about, and that yep. might make us yep. feel like, ugh, you know, is the axe yep. coming for me too? But if our roots are in those identities as yes. children of God, yes. baptized, beloved, then those things are growing and thriving under the soil in places that is not always visible to the world around us.
Well, you know?
And these are gifts given to us. It's mm-hmm. not anything that we earned, right?
Well, in the metaphor of the trees and the seasons and whatever, like there's so much resurrection that happens within our lives too.
Yeah.
It's not this like this thing died once and it's gone forever and I, you know, can never have that dream back or that
right.
whatever
yep.
a kind of identity or something that you're holding on to and like that's where the good news is though too. So in these trees that need to be cut down. Yeah, maybe it needs to be cut down for something new to grow there.
Yeah.
In the resurrection of
there's something.
Something, right?
Yeah. And beautiful and healing about.
Yeah.
We look at, I mean, it's the way I read it too. It's harsh when you hear those, you know, mm-hmm. you know, God is gonna cut us down and throw us into the unquenchable fire. Oh geez, yeah. But what if that's just a part of us, not the whole mm-hmm. thing? What if it's the parts that need pruning so that something new can grow, something beautiful can grow
well,
in those places?
And this is where I would say some dangerous theologies get into this, like if you start from a basis of people are trash
yeah.
and people are garbage
right.
and people are, you know, mm-hmm. bad
yeah.
and everything needs to be pruned and everything needs to be thrown out and that's why you need Jesus.
Right.
You are now just controlling people
right.
because mm-hmm. they will do whatever
right.
you tell them.
Out of fear.
Out of fear.
Is that the place to start?
To change
yeah.
that mm-hmm. identity of themselves, right?
Right?
When we start from a theology of you are created in the image of God mm-hmm. and you have the Holy Spirit breathed life into you in the beginning
right.
and
mm-hmm.
you are beautifully and wonderfully made and
yes.
you're, you know,
right.
you are worthy of life and love
mm-hmm.
and like when we start from that, then like, yeah, something's got to get pruned once
right.
in a while, but
yeah.
the core of you is not.
It's still good.
Yeah.
It's funny. There's a guy on TikTok. I can't remember his name. And he does like, he'll go through the different denominations and all of
uh-huh.
their like stereotypical phrases that we say and everything.
Yep.
And the one he always does for Lutherans is like, and remember your baptism. The Lutheran version of this
yeah.
is like, and remember
yeah.
your baptism, because it's true. We talk about it all the time. It
right.
comes up
right.
a lot. Lutheran tradition is rooted in our sacraments.
Yes. Yes.
Communion and baptism, the bread and wine and the water and the word of God in and with and between and under all those things, right? So this is why, though, we care about that so much and why we as Lutherans talk about it all the time
yeah.
is because, yeah, when the world tries to tell you that you're trash or you're garbage, it's important to remember your roots and your
right.
identity.
Right.
And we in the Lutheran Church, we celebrate infant baptism, and there's a really big and important reason why we baptize infants is that so there is no time
yeah.
before that child knew that they were called and claimed as a child of God. There was no part of their life that they weren't called and claimed as a child of God.
Mm-hmm.
They will have no memory pre-baptism, hopefully. You know, when you're that young, you won't have any identity before. This is your identity. Before you could earn it, before you could choose for yourself, mm-hmm. there was a community of faith that surrounded you and supported you, mm-hmm. carried you to the waters, baptized you there. That's the sufficient faith to make it happen. And that is an identity you can cling to the rest of your life. Before you could choose, God chose you.
Yep.
Always remember that. Even when your whole tree is dead and you need to just start all over again,
right.
you've still got that root, you know, you've still got that. And that's important to remember this time of year, this Advent season. And mm-hmm. this time of year in a state like Minnesota where you look outside and everything looks dead.
Things are dead.
Everything looks completely dead. But if you move away from what your eyes can see and you look with the eyes of faith, you'll remember that new life is coming, mm-hmm. right? And that's what Advent is all about.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, watch, and you do it with hope mm-hmm. and hopeful anticipation of what's coming.
Yep.
That's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. And that's what we've been talking about through Advent. But it's hard when the world around you during this time is so stressy and pulls us in so many different directions.
Yep.
Which is why we took some time last night to talk about some ways to enter into the Advent season more purposefully. And uh-huh. We had this meaningful Christmas event. We did it last night where we talked about this. There's this great curriculum, and I've used it before. It's this Advent conspiracy, and the conspiracy mm-hmm. is to step away from the consumer, you know, capitalist side of what Christmas has become, of rush, 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 and spend, 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 and how do you refocus it on relationship and love and spending of your time with the people that matter, and spending your energy and your resources on causes that matter, because that's what Advent should drive us to, ultimately,
mm-hmm.
because that's what Jesus called us to do, mm-hmm. ultimately. It's supposed to point us outward. That's why Jesus was emptied and took the form of a slave, to show us what we're supposed to do. And what we're supposed to be doing is loving and serving our neighbor. Mm-hmm. And we can't do that if we're rushing around and spending all the money we don't have on things we can't afford. And that's not what Christmas is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be about this time of slowing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're trying to do around here.
So you asked last night, who in the mm-hmm. Christmas story do you identify with the most? And mm-hmm. you said the shepherds.
Yes. Yeah, just because I feel like that's the life of faith, at least that I've experienced, is the you're out and about and doing your life thing, whatever that is,
mm-hmm.
and unexpectedly, because nobody would have expected the angels to go to these shepherds,
mm-hmm.
who are kind of dirty, unclean folk that lived outside of, you know, they lived on the outskirts. They weren't being shepherds because they really love animals. It's like a job that you can do if you had no other option, by and large, in the ancient world. These were not inside high society folks, is essentially mm-hmm. what we're trying to say. And they're going about their life, and boom, you know, this heavenly host descends upon them and shares the good news with them, and the light shines around them, and they're kind of stunned and probably, you know, staggering, because their eyes are trying to adjust from the light to the dark and the dark to the light, and now they got to go find this baby. That's who I identify with in the Christmas story, because that's kind of what my life of faith has been. It's been this thing that came upon me in the night, and I didn't know where it came from or where it's leading me, but I try to do my best to get up and go see this thing.
Yeah.
Did you have a different identity in the story?
No.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know who I would have chosen. I was thinking about Mary and Joseph being mm-hmm. on the run and having to hide from
that's in our culture today.
Authority, for sure. Right. And so, yeah, like, I don't identify with that.
No, thank God. But a lot of our neighbors are identifying with that this year.
Yeah.
There's this great, when we were in Texas, we always did a Las Posadas service. Have you ever done the Las Posadas? Mm-hmm. So this is, It's a Latin tradition of going from door to door. So there's you essentially act out the Christmas story. So you have one couple playing Mary and Joseph, mm-hmm. and they have a little figure of Jesus that they carry with them, and they go from door to door, knocking on the door and saying, you know, will you have me in your home? And the person answering the door has to say no. But then they leave their house and they join Mary and Joseph.
Okay.
So you go from door to door to door. Everybody says no. But you say no. And then in turn, you become the person saying no too at the next house. Oh. And then they join until it's a huge crowd of people. And then they get to whoever was designated to be the host that year.
Okay. Yeah.
And then they're invited in. And then there's a big party. And they get the baby Jesus. And the next year, they'll be the couple or the family that starts the next one.
Yeah.
So it's big in Mexico and other Latin countries.
Yeah.
It's really cool, but it's so important for these cultures as well, because in the global South, you know, they know what it's like to be on the run and in need of a place to stay just for a night, just have some food, whatever.
Yep.
So it's a really powerful thing to be the one saying no.
Yeah.
And that feels weird and guilty to be like, no, get away. But then you get to then feel what it's like on the other side when the next house says no to you, and then they join, and it's very cool.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I would like to do that around here, but it's not something that a white congregation should just do on their own. You know, it's something that you need to partner with a Latinx community to do, and there are some in our area. So I don't know. There's some in our conference too that I wonder if they do that, but it's a really powerful thing. So
that is cool.
Yeah, talking about their perspective of the Christmas story is kind of, it puts things in perspective of what's going on in the world today too. Speaking of people hiding and fleeing and trying to find some place where they can find rest and comfort in a world that is so hostile towards people's presence, even though scripture tells us to be kind to to our neighbors and to the resident alien living among us, to use the biblical words. I don't know how we've gone so far away from all that.
Yeah, it's been really
Merry Christmas.
I don't know.
It's tough.
Yeah, I'm kind of this stuff has been happening all year, but we're getting to Christmas where
it seems even more stark.
It does. Mm-hmm. So, I don't
know. Yep. It's a lot like, you know, people die all year, right?
Yeah.
But there are people in our congregation who are very ill, and it feels extra cruel this time of year, you know, to be walking with these families who are experiencing this. It's like, shouldn't it be off limits? Shouldn't people not be allowed to die around Christmas? Just seems like this shouldn't be the time for this to happen. But sadly, it does. So I don't know. What is that supposed to remind us of? Or I don't know.
Right.
Keeps things in perspective.
It really does.
Mm-hmm.
Remember your baptism.
Remember your baptism. Exactly. Yeah. You got any other Advent-y thoughts?
I haven't looked at the readings for this weekend because we're not doing any.
Yep. This weekend, this Sunday, we're doing the choir concert.
Right. So I don't know. But I've been wrapped up in lots of stuff. So
because you've been doing the devotion. So you've been doing all sorts of scripture stuff.
Yeah. I don't know. It is kind of sad to skip a weekend. The choir concert will
weird.
Be great.
But, yeah.
But it is kind
of. I'm always of two minds at this time of year, because it's been this way since I've gotten here to All Saints. They have this tradition of, in Advent, the first Sunday of Advent is usually a traditional Advent one service, but then the second and third Sundays of Advent are either children's program, like a Sunday school children's program, and then choir Advent Christmas choir concert, or flip them, but that's always two and three is one of those two. And then Advent 4, back to traditional, and then it's Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels great as a worship leader and a preacher to be like, sweet. I get two Sundays where we don't have anything to prepare,
well,
really.
You did.
I did. Yeah, you preached the first service. Well, hopefully next year we can get rid of that because that does feel weird, but it feels great.
I mean, I like it, though, too.
It is nice, though, but that's so there's the other side of the coin for me. There's one side of me that's like, this is awesome. Great, some time off. We don't have to be planning that. But then the other side of the coin is like, but you're missing so much of Advent. Mm-hmm. You know, we're skipping all these really great readings that we only get this time of year.
Yeah.
There are special Advent scripture readings that only come up in the lectionary this time of year because they are set apart to point to, you know, something's coming. Something's coming. Watch, wait, prepare, get ready. Something's coming. And then, you know, that obviously all comes to fruition on Christmas Eve, but we skip it because of the choir concert and the children's program. And it's like, I wish we could do something more with that. Mm-hmm. And we can.
Yeah.
Something to think about.
Okay, so we don't know about Advent 3. Do you want to talk more about the Blue Christmas service next week?
Yeah, good point. So next week, less than a week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next Wednesday, which would be, what, the 17th, I believe it is?
Yep.
The 17th. We are doing a Blue Christmas service at 6:30. And what Blue Christmas is, it's a way for people to enter into the Christmas story and engage with these Advent texts and readings in a way that is hopeful, but in a different, not holly jolly sort of way. Mm-hmm. So much of this season, because of corporate Christmas and, you know, all the red and green and woohoo, is holly jolly and joyful, and this is the most wonderful time of the year. But for a lot of people, this is not the most wonderful time of the year. And I'm thinking of those families that I mentioned a little while ago who have people who are going on hospice or dealing with mental health or substance abuse issues, and this is the time of year where families get together. But some families, you know, all families have a black sheep or somebody who maybe, you know, is here and there and not really, you know, but you've got to confront that person. And are they invited to the party? And I was just talking to somebody about this, about there's a member of their family that's like, I don't know if they're going to show up, and I hope they don't, because they've got this and they got that. And it's like, family dynamics are complicated. Family messy. Systems are complicated and messy, and people are dealing with grief, even if they're not going through a loss that's happening right now.
Right.
Holidays always bring up even long past loss and grief. It just comes out this time of year. You notice that person who's no longer at the party, that empty seat, that stocking that now you think, do I hang it up even though they're not here anymore? It feels weird not putting their stocking up. You know, it punches us in the gut. So Blue Christmas is a service that names those things and gives space to say, we are still waiting and watching in hopeful anticipation that Jesus is coming to be born among us. Mm-hmm. But it's also okay to be sad. It's also okay to be, to embrace that this time of year is the darkest time of year. You know, we're coming up on the solstice. And that means that this is the time of year with the least amount of sunlight. And that's hard for most of us, right? To just not get sunlight. We need vitamin D, and it fuels us and it gives us energy. And a lot of people are just drained this time of year. So these Blue Christmas services often have this the darkest night sort of themes of, this is a dark night, but we can gather together still in light candles in remembrance. We can light candles in lament. We can light candles in hope that things will be better.
Mm-hmm.
And it just gives space to have a service that isn't wahoo, holly jolly, everything.
Right.
Because we've also had families that say, I want to come to this, I want to come to that, but I just can't this year because it's too much to confront. I'm not in the Christmassy mood right now. And to them we say, that's okay. You have a place at the manger too. You know, you have a place in the Christmas story too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that is one of my favorite services we do all year, the Blue Christmas service. It's just, there's a population that's been going to this Blue Christmas service every single year, and every year they say we have to keep doing this because it's the only place for it. And the people that don't get it make the Elvis joke. Like,
yeah.
Oh, is this where you get together and you sing, oh, blue? It's like, you don't get it.
You don't get
it's not us, for you, okay? Apparently. It's not for you. So,
yeah.
That'll be nice. So, that's coming up next week. And then next Sunday is Advent 4.
Yep.
And then the Wednesday after that is Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Woo.
Yeah, it's coming up fast.
Oh, my goodness. And then we actually have Christmas.
Yep.
We have a whole Christmas season. That's another thing people don't realize about, you know, what gets lost in the cultural, the corporate Christmas is like, this is not Christmas time. Christmas time happens
after
Christmas Eve. You've got 12 days from Christmas Eve to January 6th, and then that's Epiphany.
Yep.
And then we can keep going. So that's another thing is we're in the wait and watch period. We're not in the Merry Christmas yet period.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I still say Merry Christmas to people. I'm a walking contradiction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Walking conspiracy.
Exactly. Yep.
Yep.
So, any other things you wanted to talk about?
No.
All right. Great. We've been talking for 52 minutes or so. So, we've got a lot going on, as we highlighted with we've got a choir concert this Sunday, Blue Christmas Wednesday, Advent 4 the Sunday after, Christmas Eve the Wednesday after that. We got a lot of stuff going on, and bake sales also on Sunday.
Yeah.
A lot of things. So I really hope you will join us for some of that or all of that. Or if you're just a podcast listener or a YouTube watcher, YouTube enjoyer, you can just keep. Yes. And Darla wants to see you there. You can keep tuning in that way. We hope you are having a blessed Advent as you watch and wait in hope. And we'll all see if we can get to the manger on time. I know Darla is excited about it.
Darla's very excited.
There were no dogs at the manger. What do you think about that?
Darla said, you don't know there weren't dogs at the
true.
Manger.
There very well could have been dogs at the manger. That was the translation.
You're right.
Yeah, good point. Good point, Darla. It does not say that. Okay, we're friends now? I think Darla needs to go outside and go pee.
I think.
And thank you for listening. Thank you for helping us continue the conversation. If you have some thoughts and insights about Advent and some of the things we talked about tonight, we'd love to hear it.
Yes, we would.
So please give us a call, send us an email, talk to us at church. We love to hear that people are listening to this. I hope people are listening to this.
Yeah.
Who knows? Anyway, thanks for joining us. Talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye.